We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's been a busy show. You'll want to check the podcast. Brent Musburger was on at 3. John Paxson was on for 20 minutes. After that, Jason Stark stopped by and Shep did something to the Grobber and trivia.
Yeah, just the dichotomy going from that 3 o'clock hour where even our weekly hit with Brent Musburger touched on journalistic type things. It wasn't Brent sitting by a fire with his smoking jacket on his fourth Irish whiskey.
Yeah, the
Bushmills. We talked serious stuff with him. That was kind of a journalism hour followed by something I'm not quite sure just yet how to describe it.
Which is the goal for the show, at least from where I'm sitting. I love the ability to, like, you tune in, you might hear a serious interview, get into the heart of a matter with sports, or you might hear something that is just intergalactically stupid.
If you thought there was a building rivalry between the venerable Les Grobstein and the youthful Nick Shepkowski, that rivalry has been suspended. You see, the hammer and nail do not have a rivalry. The nail may hate the hammer, but he can't say, I have a rivalry with it,
right?
Because he never wins. He never has. Les was the nail. Shep was the hammer.
I mean, Robert wanted more. He said he wanted a rematch.
Fine. Turn him down, can I?
He's so mad I didn't give him credit for his Bell Center answer. That is what they call it now in Montreal, but I asked for what they called it when they moved in. I gave him the year, 96. No, it's not. It's the Bell Center. It's the Molson Center, 96. Les, it's right here. See? It's the Bell Center. Let's give him the 400 points for that.
It totally changes everything.
Crap. He still won a
point. Now I want a rematch because I got to get those 400 points back.
He'd only be 1,800 points in red ink if we gave him those four back.
Yeah. Wow. That was something.
But that was radio and we did it.
Yeah. That's right. And we got a whole other hour of it before Cubs baseball, right? Is that what we're leading into? Cubs baseball?
Yeah, Cubs
they
Braves.
Play the Braves tonight.
Yeah.
We lose another $100 on the Cubs tonight.
Yeah, we lost 100 last night to win 89 in a quidge. Just didn't happen last night offensively. The Braves pitching staff, very good, and the Cubs bullpen did not hold up late. You can usually count on Edwards, but last night he couldn't find the strike zone, and they lost as a result of it.
I'd like the offense to be able to score more than one run. Tough to blame the pitching staff when you score one.
No question.
You know, the bullpen thing, that's not even a thing to me. The bullpen's good. At least it has been so far, and it'll come down to how many bullpen arms are pitching well come playoff time and health. Right? Because Morrow has injury concerns. He's been good so far this year. Edwards and Cishek have been fantastic.
Yes.
So if Edwards has that bad night and it's one bad night a quarter, right? You know what I mean? Every 40 games or so he has a bad game. You just hope that it doesn't happen at the wrong time.
Well, and Danny, just think about how good the bullpen's going to be once they get to that first series in the postseason when Yu Darvish becomes a member of it to pitch the sixth inning.
Stop, 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 stop.
That's where it's headed.
That's not where it's headed.
That's how it looks like it's. I sure would hope not for $122 million. Boy, you couple that with Hayward's 184, you got a defensive specialist as an outfielder and a bullpen chotch for $300 million for the two of them.
It's not. That's not what's going to happen. You bite your tongue.
Okay.
You bite your tongue. I've
gotten under your skin.
Well, I don't want to. That's apocalyptic thinking, right? Like that is absolute worst case scenario thinking with you. And listen, it's been bad. I wouldn't want to give them the ball in a playoff game tomorrow, but they're in fourth place in the damn division.
I don't want to give them a ball in a regular season game tomorrow.
I don't know if he made a playoff roster if you were filling one out tonight.
But they're not filling one out.
I know, but you said, about the playoffs, if they were doing it now, they wouldn't have a spot.
Yeah, okay.
He'd be out.
You're right. That is true. But I don't,
Until this very moment, I had not even considered that by possibility. So apologies for reacting this way.
I'm sorry. Like, I'll keep it all rose-colored for you.
No, it doesn't have to be rose-colored. I just that strikes me as unbelievably unlikely. Just like I said that Anthony Rizzo, by the end of the season, will be close to his numbers of the last 4 years, and just like when Wilson Contreras had one home run through 30 games, I still think he'll hit more than 20. Like, I believe in sample size in baseball, and I believe that these guys are good.
Right.
You know,
you
I just do. And so, yeah.
Well, Contreras has another weekend with the Sox in September, too. That's got that going for him.
That'll be another 10 runs driven in. Yeah, he had 9 going into that series and then had 10 in that one series against the White Sox. It's just they are not good enough right now. They're still pacing for like 89, 90 wins. The division is outperforming expectations. Like, I have no idea how Pittsburgh is doing what it's doing. We'll start asking more our national baseball guys this, and we can maybe do it ahead of some series, but Pittsburgh is unexpected. Like, that's a weird thing that is happening. The Cardinals, the Brewers, and the Pirates are all playing well.
With the absence of McCutchen, you thought they would take a dip. It would be natural to assume that. Marte's been terrific.
And they're just they don't appear like they should be very good when you watch them and you follow them. And my buddy who hosts radio in Pittsburgh, I was talking to him a couple nights ago about something else. And I was like, so is this sustainable? He's like, absolutely not. I don't think so. But
cross them off then.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I don't look at these teams as legitimate competitors. I mean, maybe that's arrogant. I don't know. But it's just none of them really scare me. I believe I'm treating the Cubs as if they're in first place because I don't believe in any of those teams above them in the standings.
What are they, a game and a half back or is it two?
I think it's
two after the loss? Yeah, the Cardinals won yesterday, right? Matinee.
Yeah, I'll pull it up for
you.
You're
two back of the Cards, one back of Milwaukee and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, bad news regards Milwaukee. June 1, 2, 3, they have dates with the White Sox. So I know that a few friends of mine who are Cubs fans, they've been can your White Sox do us a favor just once in a while and beat somebody in the NL Central? Because they have had their struggles against NL Central squads.
No, I think the answer to that would be no, right? I don't think that's what we're going to be banking on the North side. I still like my idea of getting Cubs fans tickets to like Section 124 at Sox Park, wearing Cubs hats and wearing a sign when Baltimore comes to town next week. Chicago wants Machado, and all of the C's are Cubs logos.
That's the right section for it, because Machado will see it when he runs into the dugout. It's right down there. That's perfect. Good thinking. I got that right in my head here. The U.S. Cellular, I always book. The G-spot. I know all the sections. That's a perfect place for us to sit.
Well, I looked it up online, to make sure.
You should have just asked me.
Well, it's, computer's right there. We learned anything in the trivia segment then. Ish. I don't want to get tickets on the wrong side of the stadium. I'm holding up for White Sox player Tim Anderson's like, what's going on here? It's very disrespectful. But I think it's a solid idea. We're going to execute that hopefully coming up next week. Because speaking of Manny Machado, if anyone hasn't heard, John Heyman from FanRag Sports says the Cubs are going to make him their main target at the deadline. His words, not mine. And it's a weird place to be as a Cubs fan, but there is an expectation of the big move now.
Yeah. There's recent history of it. They'll spare no expense to vie for championships. So you say to yourself, why wouldn't you do this if you think that he's more than a rental? Epstein last week, or just the other day, opened the door for that possibility. He did not dismiss it.
Well, and the key also will be, when he talked about what they did for Aroldis Chapman in 2016, a huge part of the calculus was that the team earned it, right? The team had played so well that they were clearly the best team in baseball, and they clearly had one hole, so they were willing to part with basically any prospect capital that it cost to plug that hole, right? The offense was great, the defense was great, the starting pitching was great, they didn't have the closer. So see you, Gleyber Torres. We'll rent Aroldis Chapman. We'll rent the 102-mile-an-hour fastball to fill the one hole in the team. I saw the same thing with the Royals. Dayton Moore said he said the team earned it. We hemorrhaged our future. We mortgaged our future we needed a starter, and we needed a utility guy who could give us a veteran at bats. And they traded 6 prospects in 2 separate trades, and they got Johnny Cueto and Ben Zobrist. So it's the same thing. Like the team has to earn it. So while I am absolutely patient as a Cubs fan, because I know over 162, this team's going to be fine, and I think they're going to win the division, and all will be well. You got 10 weeks until the deadline to prove it to Theo and Jed that it's worth it to put your chips in the middle of the table with this team, as opposed to just, we'll stand pat, we'll make a minor move, we'll tinker
well,
with
that's,
it.
That's sort of pretzel logic, isn't it?
How?
In that you're not augmenting your team if they're not going well and haven't earned it. That's an interesting way of phrasing it, and I understand the go for it. Hey, we're clicking on all cylinders right now. Let's go ahead and spend the money. But if you have a glaring weakness at a position where somebody might be able to help you, then you got to go get him.
Right. I just know for a fact that they were considering selling at the midway point of last year when they were really – I mean, this last year's team was 45-45, but no one had run away with the division. If someone had run away with last year's division, I believe Wade Davis gets traded at the trade deadline because they've used – like all of their prospects were in the big leagues. So the farm system wasn't good anymore. Right. And when you're trying to – it's so much harder to restock a farm system when all of your prospects are in the big leagues because it's obvious. Your prospects are no longer prospects anymore. And so Theo's talked about how you have to take those rare opportunities, right? Like hopefully over a seven-year span, they make the playoffs all 7 years. But in the years that they might not because of injury or whatever happens – those are the years you've got to be real honest about the evaluation of your team, and guys who are on expiring contracts, trade them off.
I would say this about the Cubs regarding their willingness to spend in recent years. Some have been of the mindset that that's new to the Cubs. It really isn't. They have been spending money for 30 years, but they've invested a lot of money very poorly. You go back to the late 80s when they started fishing for free agents, you could line up a bunch of bad contracts. You can't say the Cubs have been cheap historically, not in the last 30 years. Well, you could say it if you want, but you'd be wrong because they've spent. They've just misspent.
Yeah, this regime has misspent in some ways, but I don't know that you call
Edwin
any...
Edwin Jackson was a disaster.
Well, sure, and people would obviously say Hayward, but I don't know... Is it possible to have a bad contract when you win the World Series?
Yeah.
But it's not...
It's still worthwhile, but it's a bad contract.
Okay, but you're happy to pay it. You're not really signing any checks.
Well, if a player earns it, yes.
But if that is like a key part in costing you chances at other World Series, I don't know. It's
You think the Cubs regret the Jason Hayward contract?
I think if they go back in time and do it again, they don't. Yes. I think they take their chances when going a different plan in 2016 and say, not Jason Hayward, X player goes in right field and take their chances of how that plays out.
It's just such a hard thing because of the intangible, the leadership. He was a positive war player. And for whatever you guys say, enough players have told me on mic and off mic that like that speech and like where their headspace was going into the rain delay.
That's fine.
What? The contract's fine?
No, the speech that his teammates stick up for him because they know he got absolutely obliterated by fans for his performance on the field. So they want him to feel better, so they tell you those things. You buying that?
Yeah.
I don't.
You don't think that had any...
No.
Okay. I mean, being in that...
I don't.
Game 7 of the World Series on the road, extra innings, you've given up the lead. Chapman is spent. It's only a 17-minute rain delay to recover. You're telling me that the human side of baseball in those 17 minutes doesn't matter? Are you guys, I mean, come on.
A lot of young players, too.
Yeah. That's true, but there are also a lot of young players who had watched a guy underperform. Look, if you're going to do something in front of 24 other guys, and most professional athletes will tell you this to be true, you better have some skins on the wall in recent memory before you do it and start preaching on the pulpit.
Well, Hayward's got skins on the wall.
He didn't that season. He was a disaster.
Nah, but they all respected him. They all respected Jason Hayward.
I guess my thought would be, okay, with the way that clubhouse was constructed, and obviously Hayward's the one we know now gave the speech in the rain delay, and magic happens, they win in 10 innings, and the drought's gone after 108 years. But, like, if you can go back and do revisionist history, and Jason Hayward's never a Cub, with the guys that were on that roster, whether it was Lester, who's been a veteran in playoff moments, that's what we always hear about him. David Ross wasn't here because he hit 300, was here because of his veteran leadership and presence. Like, if Hayward's not there, do we just assume no one else steps up and says, hey, team meeting here?
No, I'm with you. I assume someone else would have. I'm just saying, I'm glad Jason Hayward did.
Well, yes, I am happy it played out the way it did.
You know why they won game seven? They got the last three outs with a lead. That's how they won game seven.
Thank you. They scored more runs than the other team.
Yeah,
I understand. So you think Jason Hayward had no role in it?
I don't buy into it, no. Now,
No role? Wow.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't think Sister Jean was the reason Loyola got to the Final Four either.
Neither do I.
I don't think speech is... I think it's, you know, and again, you've got to be doing it on the field. You've got to be productive before you have any credibility as a clubhouse leader.
So why did he speak up?
I don't know. Maybe because no one else did.
So you think they're all rolling their eyes at Jason Hayward?
I imagine a few of them were. Sure.
No. He was a positive impact player on that team in 2016. That is a fact. That is quantifiably factual. Now, listen, I didn't know how we got here exactly relitigating this entire thing. But my point is the money that they spent on Hayward, yeah, I wish that they weren't paying it now because it would be easier to sign Bryce Harper or Manny Machado or whatever. But when you sign John Lester and you sign Ben Zobrist for $56 million and you sign Hayward for what it is, and then those contracts are all on the team when you win a World Series, it's hard for me to say that any of those are bad contracts. If Jose Quintana doesn't win a World Series and you give up Eloy Jimenez for it, that's a bad trade because you didn't get what he wanted out of Quintana. If Darvish doesn't pitch in a World Series for you, that's a bad contract because this team, he was signed to that money to put them to the cusp of the luxury tax to win a World Series under that contract. But if you win a World Series, this isn't the Yankees, where 27th World Series, 28th World Series, 24th World Series, whatever, they're all World Series. It's the Chicago Cubs. Any contract that was signed for the Chicago Cubs in a World Series year is a contract worth signing.
But if we could borrow Mike Golick's time machine and go back in time, as Shep just suggested, I bet the Cubs wouldn't do the deal, given a second opportunity.
I honestly don't know the answer to that. And you're right. I mean, it sounds crazy because it's a horrible contract. It's just that World Series was worth more than $184 million.
Well, yes, it was. But unfortunately, that $184 went to an underachieving speechwriter. Thank you. Oh boy,
I needed more of that in my life. You have them.
I want to go back in time. I want to go to Woodstock. If I could go back in time, I'd go to Woodstock.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
You?
I would just go back and gamble on sports, like in Back to the Future 2 with the Biff Almanac, and just become a millionaire.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. That's what I would do. I would just take Shep's knowledge of the present-day sports landscape, try to remember it all, go back in time and bet on sports results. Yeah. Right? I mean, it'd be great.
Sure.
Easy money. Invent Uber. Invent Amazon. Shep?
Like, part of you want to go back to just a ridiculous, like, caveman type time.
You just want to be a caveman with like a lighter?
Something with no technology.
Yeah, you know.
Like, it'd just be so different.
Where it's considerably worse for every human on Earth, and you're the hunted, not the hunter. A simpler time for man.
So you go fight for your food. You
your right to party.
That's right.
When men carved on the walls of caves to communicate and rubbed sticks together to make fire to grill meat, that's where Shep's desires go. What a goofy thing to say.
I didn't think we could stop the 4 o'clock hour.
Man.
He's already ready for overnight, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Oh.
If you could bring back one thing with you to prehistoric times, Shep, what would it be with it on this time?
Cover Fridays.
Get out of here. Get us out of here.
I can't get anything out.
All right, just Tanny, save us.
Thank you, Tanny. Give me a chance to scratch that itch. Getting the lead out on a Sunday, Thursday, and a Thursday sunny afternoon on the score. Out of wait, practice for that.
Okay.
You said Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, you did.
It's not Sunday. It's Thursday. I meant to say sunny.
Sunny.
I haven't disc jockeyed in a little while. Thought it was nails on a chalkboard.
It is. Yeah. Chalk is supposed to be on a chalkboard.
And I missed a couple of Keith Richards sung songs. Tanny pointed out one, and Brian Gertz, who does our video stream, pointed out another one on their Goat's Head Soup album. So I don't know jack about the Stone Rollers.
Clearly. That's the first thing I think about you. That's where that's the pop culture gap that needs to be filled for Dan McNeil, the
yes.
Rolling Stones.
Then you'll be on board.
Yeah. Oh, man. So what if you lived in prehistoric times, what tool would you want to have with you? What would be the most useful tool?
A knife would be good.
A knife?
I would think a knife would be very valuable. Yeah, if you got modern day tools, you probably need guns, too, I would think.
To fight off the dinosaurs.
Yeah, you'd need lawyers, guns, and money.
Mm. Yeah, time travel to get out of there would be helpful. The DeLorean. I wouldn't be able to start a fire. Like, I always think about if I was Tom Hanks in Castaway. I think about that.
Most of us would give up in 15 minutes. He stayed after it until he was sore.
Yeah, I'd be dead in 30 minutes before I got the LASIK surgery. Now the LASIK surgery, I'd at least be able to see. Day and a half, tops. And then I starve to death on that island.
So a lighter would be handy, but that's not going to last very long.
Yeah, but you could keep the fire going.
Oh, really? You're just going to have unlimited supply of wood to burn. This is the dumbest thing.
Yeah, there'd be, right? Yeah, there are a lot of trees on big islands.
A new low.
Right, but you don't just chop down a tree and it's ready to burn.
He's just going to keep one fire going.
As long as I got one lighter, we're good.
I got one lighter for the rest of my days because I'm just going to keep the wood eternally going. Oh!
Am I wrong?
We might be the dumbest show in the history of sports radio.
Wait, am I wrong?
Is quite the stance
yeah,
to take.
That's high
you
praise.
You build a big fire. You have extra kindling on the side. You fall asleep. You wake up every couple hours.
Champ.
And you throw more kindling on there to keep the fire going. It's like an eternal flame.
What happens when it rains?
What do you mean? I mean, yeah. Well, so when it rains, you have to
don't
have a torch.
Don't ruin it for him. He's on a roll.
You bring a torch into a
what?
To a cave. Yeah, have you seen the movie? He slept in a cave. The cave was protected by rain.
After hearing the last 3 minutes, my suspicion is you would not make a very suitable contestant for Naked and Afraid.
No. I'm afraid to be naked. Yeah, all of those things. Yeah, it'd be a problem. But, I mean, you don't think about that stuff all the time? I think about how long would I survive if I was Matt Damon in The Martian.
Yeah.
I think about that all the time.
Sure. That movie was – I didn't love it when I saw it at the theater, but I clearly thought after seeing it a second time it was worthy of getting an Oscar nomination.
I loved that movie.
I liked it a lot.
I find it to be one of the most rewatchable movies. Frankly, I love movies like that where you can come in at any point in the story and, like, you get it. He's alone on an island. He's trying to get off. He's alone on Mars. He's trying to get off.
And his potatoes are ruined.
Yeah. And his fecal matter. See, I'm not a botanist, so that would be a problem. Other than that, I think I'd be
You don't
fine.
Think you'd be able to grow potatoes? You'd keep them warm with your fire.
Yeah.
Like, when you say you think about this often.
All the time.
Like, when is all the time? Like,
when
once
he's
a day?
Stoned.
Once weekly. A week?
Weekly.
Weekly?
Weekly. I think about, like, things that I would do in a situation of complete solitude.
In the case
survival
of...
survival skills and, how I lack them.
Can't say probably since I saw that movie that's probably the last time I thought about what I'd do if I was ever on a deserted island by myself.
Right. I think most of us when Danny thinks of it weekly because he's got a busy mind. Most of us
probably whenever he flies too because he has the fear of flying that we found out about.
That's right.
And that's part of Castaway.
Yeah.
For those of you who haven't seen it or haven't seen it in a long time, it
I'll
starts
right
with a plane
back.
That goes down. Yep.
You said you'd be right back.
Do you think Tom Hanks would, or his character in that movie?
Chuck Norris.
The way it ends, do you think if he could go back in time, since we were on that and Jason Hayward's speech, with how it ends, would he want to get off the island?
Excellent question.
If he could go in his time machine, would he just stay on the island?
No, I think he was ready to have a Dr. Pepper with ice in my glass.
Could Jason Hayward walk off the island?
Could Jason Hayward inspire him to get off of the island quicker?
He would not have considered suicide if Jason Hayward was on that island for a motivational
speech. I think that's a thought most people get to when they watch that movie, because it's kind of subtle. The suicide scene is not what you'd call graphic. It's retro. It's a flashback to it. I think most people think, could I take it? How long could I suffer this? And I'm sure it wouldn't be long for many of us who've had the spoils of the 21st century.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I'm so not independent, right? I can't do anything. You know what I mean? I can't change a tire.
Oh, you have a light bulb go out at your condo. You want to move, right?
Yeah, I'm like, this fixture, there's something broken with it. I don't know. They all went out at the same time. My buddy's like, oh, it's crosswired. I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means. I know how to change a fuse box and run the machines that they have.
But. Oh, I've got a staff of – I run with most of my high school buddies, and many of them are guys who actually work for a living, and don't think I don't stay close to them for that reason. I mean, there are other reasons, too, the camaraderie foremost, but – yeah, I need help with a ton of stuff. Yeah. All kinds of crazy things.
Did you hang a flat panel TV on your wall?
Yes, I have done that. And I'm good at hanging large pictures and making sure that the top of the frame is the same number of inches from the ceiling as the one down the hall from it and things like that. But for the most, I consider working on the car, putting windshield washer solvent in that reservoir where it goes. That's working on the car for me. That's as far as I go.
It's a different reservoir than when the oil goes, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
I don't think the solitude would bother me in Castaway. Like, no people being around. I think I'd be totally fine with that. It'd be the feeding myself. It'd be like the hunting. that would
sharpening
be
sharpening a spear for some little gobies that gather in the shallow water.
Yeah, like prison. Like, I'm like, you get a book. You get it. If I had the internet, if I had Twitter in prison, I think I'd be fine.
If you ever get to prison, lock your cell door and don't come out.
Oh no, I wouldn't be good with like the rest of the population.
Yeah, you wouldn't be good in the general population.
No, I'm saying like South.
Father, could you please send more honey buns down to me and my comrades here in the Who's Cow?
I definitely try to buy people off for protection. Yeah, I'm good at being alone. That's all I'm saying.
I hermit very well. Also, right? I laid low for a year and a half before I finally went and sold a truck. I think I better step outside and go bust a grape. Then I go sell a truck.
Nice. A year and a half?
A year and a half, yeah.
Wow. How many movies do you think you watched in a year and a half?
I don't know.
300?
At least, I would think.
It's a solid use of your time.
Yeah.
I love 500 movies. Days. We know.
Like, that has to be the most common trait between everybody that works here, right? In this... probably in this industry, let alone that too.
Technical savvy?
Yeah, like not being self-sufficient?
Well, just like solitude.
Oh, solitude. Like, yeah.
It just seems like everyone here has that to a very large degree.
Huh. I haven't psychoanalyzed all of my coworkers like that, but that makes sense.
A guy I grew up listening to and later worked with, who I had a ton of regard for a long time, Steve Dahl, used to describe himself and other talk show hosts as narcissistic introverts. I think that speaks to the conversation we're having right here. Yeah, being alone can be okay. And then after you're alone for long enough, you got too much of that I'm cool to keep it all to yourself, and you got to go share it. And that's when the narcissism comes. Am I using too big of words for you, Shep? I know this isn't Sports Jeopardy.
Let me get my dictionary out. I feel like I'm listening to the midday show right now, and I'll get back to you.
Let me tell you something about that midday show. I like it.
I get smarter every time I listen.
I like Dan Bernstein when he's happy. He's an attractive man when he's a happy man.
Yeah. You sense happiness from Dan?
I do. I hear it coming out of the box every day. Connor was so happy to get one back at me. for the horse flying thing. He was so happy because I said something stupid today.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Count him on it. All right. Well, so I'm glad you hear him being happy because he talks all the time about being fatalistic. Like, he always expects, like, worst-case scenario stuff. So I'm glad.
He sounds happy to me.
I'm glad he's happy. Let's revisit a little bit of the PAX interview because he agreed with me on a big-picture thing for the 7th overall pick, or at least he said he did. It might have been a platitude, but I want to talk about that philosophy coming up on The Score. With us earlier today, Michael Porter Jr. meeting with the media right now. Cody Westerlund and Rick Camp are there at the Combine here in Chicago, says he has not yet met with the Bulls yet, called himself the best player in the draft, and said he has no problem sharing his medicals with any team that wants it and that he feels 100%.
Parkins wants this guy, bad back and all, and I told Pax that he's stuffing the suggestion box, and that was his response to that that query. I was happy to hear him talk that much about a player in the draft.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if he would yet, honestly. And obviously it's going to all be positive. It's going to be in generalities. But I just am not complete. I think Lowry's going to be really good. I think he'll be a multi-time All-Star. I'm just not – you need stars, and I'm not sold that Mikal Bridges is a star. I think he's a good player. I think he'd be a good player on a good team, but you can find good players on good teams in a lot of ways. You can only get stars by drafting at the top of the draft, generally speaking. So swing for the fences with Michael Porter Jr., that's what I say.
Fun visit with Pax. You can check it all out on 670thescore.com if you so desire. Brent Musburger was part of the mix today. Jason Stark from The Athletic also joins us. And thanks to Les Grobstein for coming in for a beatdown when he went toe-to-toe with Shep on a little trivia game that was quite interesting.
I don't know if I've been more surprised by anything that's happened on the radio since I've been in Chicago. Like, I thought Les was the favorite. You guys were convincing me that Shep was the favorite, but you didn't think he was a big favorite.
I wasn't expecting that. That was a beating of biblical proportion. That was a beating very similar to the one that Shep would have taken if he would have been a caveman many, many years ago, which he often thinks about.
Or I would take in prison. I heard you guys don't think I would do very well in prison.
No, not at all. Not for a second.
Off? Yeah.
Huh.
Lock the door.
Yeah.
Lock the door.
I understand.
I could be a friend to you.
I believe it. Oh, God. I got the reference, by the way. No.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
You got that?
The sisters. Shawshank.
Yeah.
Mac, don't insult me.
They take by force.
Yeah, but they after that day, Boggs and the sisters never laid another hand on Andy Dufresne. All right. Thanks to David Schuster. Mac, Shep, Tanny. Ready to do 5 hours again tomorrow? This show was really dumb, but we had a lot of fun doing it. We're McNeil and Parkins, Cubs Baseball.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.